surfing, it's going to the gym, going to church, going to the bar and happy hour with your friends, and going to see the shrink, all wrapped into one little session. It's meant to be all of those things wrapped into one.
Hello and welcome to Wilding 50. I am your host, Christine Forrester. In this podcast, I will be interviewing surfers from my local breaks and beyond following a surf session. Whether you are learning to surf like me, keen on new adventures, or in the mood for a good conversation, I hope you will find some inspiration with these surf tales. In this episode with Stephen Beck, we discuss his drumming for the Suede Denim Secret Police, facing addiction with presence, staying motivated to surf in winter, embracing your inner kook, and surfing naked. Stephen bears it all with warmth and a good sense of humor. Hello, Stephen.
Hello, how are you today?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm doing good.
Good to have you here. A couple of months ago, I went to an event down at Schutz, and it was in support of a local up-and-coming surfer named Tex Mitchell. And at one point, this punk ska band started rocking the place. And it was so cool. It was all these 50-year-olds.
It was amazing, like, actually.
Going to town. So the band is called Suede Denim Police.
Secret Police.
Secret Police.
Shh, don't tell anybody.
Okay, so tell
Suede
us more.
Denim, Suede Denim Secret Police.
Suede Denim Secret Police.
It's a line from the Dead Kennedys. Suede Denim Secret Police, we have come for your uncool niece. It's one of the classic punk lines of music folklore from the 80s. So, yeah, we played, that was super fun. Tex Mitchell is like a friend of all of ours, because pretty much everybody in the band surfs, and we've known Tex since he was a little grom. So that was super cool to be able to be invited to play for his like video release. And it was super cute to see his mom, Joanna, we call her Joe Mama, was actually in tears when she watched like her clip of her boy on the screen. We were kind of disappointed actually in our performance on that show, because our monitors were in front of us, not behind us, so we didn't play up, like, we weren't as on time, I think, as we normally are. And everybody was kind of like eating, like, we didn't get as many people up and dancing as we usually do, but it was still super fun. And
then, it was great. It seemed like everybody just moved all the way over to the front where you guys were.
And, it's like everybody, it was, you know, Oceanside Board Riders Club put it on, and then it was for Shane Magnuson had a video, and then Chris Abad, who really does a lot of work for the community and surfing and putting on the Board Riders Club. So it was a super cool event.
Yeah, I had a lot of fun.
Good.
So you mentioned at one point that the drinking got out of hand.
I wouldn't say one point. I'd say every point.
Okay. But you decided to take up drumming again as a way to change a little bit the environment.
Yeah.
So tell us about that. What does it feel like to be in the middle of a drumming session?
Well, I think I have to kind of maybe hit rewind and go back 30 years real quick, because 30 years ago when I played in a punk band then, and I think my drinking was getting out of control, and it was like the band kicked me out. We were literally on stage playing the Dream Street in Ocean Beach, and my bass player got so pissed at me because I was like drunk and way off time that he threw his guitar across stage and stormed off. And so I think that's why I quit. And it was, I just had a bad experience. And so I had a little, let's just say, run-in with the law a year ago. And so I was trying to reel myself in. And I just started playing music again. And I got myself an electric kit so I can practice every night. And the best thing about playing drums is you actually have to set a beer down. You can't hold it and drink it while you're playing. So it actually gives you that time where you're just, you know, you're kind of playing music. And it's been a really good release, and I feel like I've been able to, when I play now, like, I have to not drink before I play. I can't drink anything before I play, which is really good for me. And then when I get there, I only have like one and I'll sip it, because as soon as I drink too much, my leg goes to sleep. And if you're a drummer, especially on the bass drum, you don't want your leg going to sleep. So that's been a really good kind of a therapy for me. And I think people who generally drink too much do a lot of other things in excess, whether it's social media or whatever. You know, we're kind of like characters that go out of control with a lot of different things. So that's been really good, where my mind is just jumping into like learning new songs every night. It's been I feel like a true blessing to get back into it.
Yeah, it's wonderful. Thank you so much for sharing that. I mean, I think that we're living right now in a time and a culture that really encourages addictions, right? Whether it's to to porn, to drugs, to workaholism. And it takes courage to look that yeah. in the eye and do something about it. But, you know, I think that we, all of us, or a lot of us, engage in some kind of activity that we know is not beneficial to us, right? Yeah. That's kind of, I think, a basic definition of an addiction. But if you can find an activity that really forces you into the present moment, yeah. like drumming does, because that in a way is an antidote to the addiction, which is numbing you to the present yeah. moment. So do you agree
good
with
point.
That?
Or you know, it's amazing. I never thought of it like that, but it is like for me to even play, I really have to be on point and I really have to be in the moment with every single note, because drums, like every... You know, it's, you can't really hide it. You're the loudest instrument. You're the one that's supposed to keep time for four other people. So if you're off, everybody's off. So I never kind of thought about it like that, but I guess it's kind of an escape, but it's an escape into your own head where you have to be on point with four other people. Yeah.
It's a tremendous responsibility.
Yeah. And it's funny. It's actually more work than fun. And that might sound weird. Part of it, just trying to coordinate schedules with five other guys that all have careers and all have kids. We all have a lot of things going on. But just trying to even find those moments to, you know, have the band practice or coordinate a show that's 2 months out, you know, and all that. But it's a lot of work, actually. But you have those moments, like on stage when you're song and you just nail everything. It just feels super good.
Yeah.
It's just like catching a perfect wave and getting that big, nice turn, or maybe getting a little barrel, a little cover up, and you come out, you got a big old smile, and it's like the same feeling as catching a good wave.
Well,
you know?
That was what I was going to ask.
Playing a good song.
About the parallels between drumming
yeah.
and surfing. But
I think there's a ton. I think it's that both of them, you have that adrenaline rush that I think, you know, we're always, I think, seeking, but it's in a safe space, a safer space, I should say.
Yeah, I mean, just listening to drummers, I've never drummed, you know, been a drummer myself, but you kind of can get that feeling. It just feels so immersive
yeah.
and powerful and very physical too, right? You see
yeah,
them just
1 hour
sweating.
Of playing, I'm just sweating and like, you know, every limb is going at it. And, you know, for me, I try and surf every morning. So surfing 1 hour, and then I usually work 8 hours a day, and then I play drums for at least 1 hour. It's like, I've been a busy boy for 56 years old, you know, by the time end of the day is like I'm ready for bed, you know.
Yeah, right. And drumming also is something that's so primal and ancestral to us, right? I know that I did a little bit of West African dancing just, you know, for fun when I lived in LA, and the first time I went, I just remember it hitting me in the chest, like, you know, it taps into something that feels so innate, or right, and a lot of hip movement and everything. But it's so fun to dance with live drummers there, you know. It's an incredible feeling. Even when you're not drumming yourself, you kind of feel part of the drumming circle.
Well, it's funny you say that, because the way I kind of got back into drumming too, my other buddy, whose name is Steve-O, he's the Steve-O that puts the O in O-side, is what I say, because he's just a super positive, you know, vibe merchant, basically. And he has these big African drums. And so usually after we surf together, in fact, he just lives around the corner from here, we would go to his house and play those big drums. And then he wound up getting... one of those little Tibetan singing bowls where you hit it and you make it, it vibrates, and you can, like, the tone is just incredible. Mm-hmm. So that was, I think, my first getting back into it, was we would play those big old drums in his yard, and we would just talk about the world and issues and solve them over, you know, a cold one and playing music.
Yeah, that's great. Before we move on, I want to ask some of your inspirations then. Who are some of your favorite drummers or sources of inspiration?
What's funny, because I, you know, you kind of like prepped me with a few questions, and I was thinking about it, and I really don't have anyone. Like, there's not a single, like, great drummer, because to me, like, everybody's great. Like, they're all good. They all have, like, I was watching, like, as I'm trying to learn music, like, you've got the John Bonhams of Led Zeppelin that does, like, half beats, and he does these slow, like, really weird, like, nobody else does. And then you have, like, the Beatles drummer, like Ringo Starr, who, like, makes the simplest beats, but he does them in such a happy way that it's super easy to play, but it's like you just smile when he plays them. And I was trying to think of that. If I had one, there's not a single one I could say, like, because they're all super cool. It's like surfing or surfers for me. Like, I don't have a single surfer that I think, you know, is an inspiration, because they all are. Like, there's kooks out there. There's so many people that inspire me, like Alden Averill, like, inspires me, because he has a bad leg. He got in a bad car accident, so he's always getting barreled, because he can only stand halfway up. So he's always in a barrel position. And there's so many people that are really amazing in different ways. And so I couldn't say in either one, like a particular person. I think that's one thing I like about myself is I'm able to see really cool things in people and take from them or get inspired by. And it's just a lot of different people. It's not any one, you know?
Yeah, great answer. And you also said that at this point, I mean, we kind of experience this now with the internet, but that you can really learn almost any skill.
Everything, yeah.
So the drumming is then that way too.
That's actually, you bring up a really good point because there's a couple drum videos on YouTube that I follow. And this one girl, they call her like Hannibal the Cannibal, and she's from the UK. She's in a band called the Sex Pist Dolls, like Sex Pistols, but Sex Pist Dolls, and it's an all-girl band, and she freaking kills the drums. And when I watch most of her songs, I couldn't even play them when I first started. So she was the person that I would go, when I learn how to, and then I would go find the easier way to, because there's all these different versions you can learn how to play a song, right? I would go back and learn the easy ones first, and then I would go back, and now I can finally play the way she plays the songs, which is freaking like super fast, but still keeps it, you know, a basic beat and comes back down to the, you know, to the backbeat of every song. And so I guess learning from her and watching her, and I don't know, she's just got this like cool little chick from UK vibe that just, I think I just feel attracted to too.
Great. We'll have to put that in the show notes. Yeah. And I'll take a look too.
Yeah. That's she's fun. Freaking, this chick's amazing.
Well, let's go back to our surf session. So we went out on December the 18th. It was a Sunday morning and it's getting chillier. I remember seeing a lot of booties and hats, and I felt kind of proud because in the summer I'm usually overdressed, but I was bareheaded and barefoot in the water. And so
that's the only way to be. Like, I can't wear booties. Every time I've tried, my foot gets stuck too low on the board and I ruin a perfectly good wave. And I feel like your feet need to be connected to the board and the water, and your head needs to be connected to kind of like the elements. You know, I want to hear the sound of the wave when it breaks. It sounds kind of goofy when it fills up with water. I don't know if you've ever tried to wear a hood.
I haven't yet. No.
But I think it sucks. And it doesn't really keep you much warmer. But to me, that's like your senses feeling all the different sensations of a wave. To me, it kind of numbs it. So I don't even do any of those. I just do a 3-2 full suit. And I can't remember if I told you, but like, prepping in the wintertime, like if you want to stay motivated and surf every day, which is my goal, you got to have a dry wetsuit, put it in the dryer. I know it's not good for it, but put it in the dryer. It's not good for the suit, but it's good for the soul. So if your suit's nice and warm when you put it on, right? And then you have a big old jug of hot water as soon as you get out, and then you dump that down your suit and it's all like bubbling hot. Yeah. Those are the things you look forward to, those two in the morning. Instead of like, oh shit, it's really cold outside, it's still gray, it's cloudy, it's whatever the things that are going to keep most people from going surfing in the morning in the wintertime, you're kind of like, oh cool, that's okay, I got a nice warm suit, just came out of the came out of the dryer, I got a jug of hot water at the end.
Well, you saved me actually. By the end of our session, I didn't know how cold my hands were, but I couldn't even put them together to paddle anymore. And by the time I got to my car, I literally could not get my fingers to open up the car lock. Yeah. And then you came over with your jug of water and you gave my hands a nice rinse. And then you pour the water down my suit, which felt like 10 times better than even peeing in it. So it was really nice.
And that's why I even have that sticker. I love to pee in my wetsuit because it's not only does it make me laugh in the morning, you know, before I roll out, but it's part of life.
We had a really nice day. I mean, I think it's better for beginners now. The waves were fairly small, but you said that
it was a small day.
But you said the best left or longest left.
Oh,
in a
I had
while.
A really long left. Yeah, it was a small day. It was kind of like, it was offshore wind that morning.
Beautiful.
So it was holding the waves up, which is really fun if you want to just streak across the line and just do a really, you know, get a lot of distance out of the wave. And I think, you know, I snuck in a few turns on it, but I had a really fun. And for me, when I surf, if I, like literally most days, I catch like 3 to 5 waves and then I go to work. I don't surf very long. Mm-hmm. I surf maybe 45 minutes to an hour, and then but that's all it takes is one wave.
It's kind of like your reset in the morning in a way, right? You get out, you just want to get out there and feel the elements, all that sensorial energy coming in.
And the colder the water, you know, the clearer your head's going to be when you're done. It really does. So it's like, if you're a little groggy or for whatever reason, all of a sudden you're going to be vibing as soon as you get out of the water, you're done. You're going to be full of energy.
Yeah, I don't know if it's because I'm slowly improving, but I also, maybe it's also the waveform, but I felt like that day I had more time to get settled, right? To get your bearings, and then you have the right placement of the hands, right placement of the foot, and you actually can, you know, move along the wave a little
yeah,
better.
That's totally key for beginners. So days like that are days where the waves are a little mushy, and it gives you like that extra second or two to get up and kind of like get dialed in versus the days where, you know, if it's kind of jacking straight up and it's barreling where you got to get up right away and you got to be literally mid-face soon as you bottom turn, or you're not going to make the section. So we had a super fun day. And it was like, yeah, perfect for kind of just a cruising or beginner day.
Yeah, it was really fun. So let's talk about the kook that you had spelled on your wetsuit with the K's upside down.
Yeah. So kook of the day is Jonathan Wayne Freeman used to do and he's from Oceanside, but he would do the kook of the day. I don't know if you had it on Instagram, but it would be something funny every day.
Yeah.
And he was really, and he does his own, so I would recommend everybody to follow him on Instagram. He's freaking hilarious. But he surfs South Jetty a lot of times. He usually comes a little bit later in the morning. But it's more of a mentality to me. And I think putting kook on the back of my wetsuit, because I've been surfing now, I'm coming up on 40 years of surfing. And that's 40 years of lately, the last 10 years, surfing every single day. And I think my level where I'm at for a guy that surfed that long is an absolute kook, because I see these kids that have only been surfing 2 years and they're out there with John Daniels in the Learn to Rip, and they're already like winning titles, or like the Katie Simmers, who at 16 years old is already on the world tour. I mean, I've been surfing 3 times longer than she's even been alive. And if you think about that, and I won one first place trophy, and that was in the senior men's division. And it's because Rockin' Fignetti like got stuck in Huntington Beach traffic. So I see this guy running down to join me in the contest. And there was only 3 of us in the whole event. Mm. And I was the only guy to catch a wave. So with the 2.0 heat score, the whole heat score, I won a first place trophy. And that's the only one I have out of 40 years of surfing. So that's an absolute kook if you ever think about it.
Well, at least you had the guts to enter the competition.
That's yeah.
Okay. I think that takes something.
That's like showing up as, sometimes they say showing up is half the battle.
Yeah, for sure.
So I have a first place trophy just for being the only one that showed up.
Okay, well, what's your kookiest story then? If you've got to have one.
I think probably, I really think that's probably got to be it, because I was like the proudest guy rolling with this first place trophy, but I was the only guy that caught a wave. I think the secret to being a happy kook is that you're going to have a kook moment every single session. Like I can't think of, like the other day I was surfing and I go over this, like, I don't know what I passed over, a person or an animal.
Oh, no.
And I see like, and I look down and then I turn around. And this big old seal like pops his head up. And this was just a few weeks ago, right? Big old seal. And I go, oh, I kind of like relief. And I go to grab my board because it's a small day. Wave's about ready to break. It's like shore break, 2 foot. And I see this like fin come through the water right at me. And it like darted. And it was not a dolphin, I don't think, because they have a different way of moving. So I think it was a really small shark. I don't know for sure. But it came like right at me and it went streaking through the wave, and I jumped up like and just screamed, and I did a belly flop onto my board, and I was shaking, like my hands and my feet were shaking. And here I am in like 2 feet of water on a 2 foot wave, shaking because I thought the shark was coming after
yeah.
me. And I think it was a small shark and went to maybe go look at the seal or whatever, because I saw it dart that way.
Oh, I thought it was the same animal trying to get you back or wanted to play more.
No, it was like I see this fin all of a sudden come right through the wave right at me, and it scared the shit out of me. But I jumped, and then I just think like every day I feel like I probably have a kook moment every single day. Like there's not a day where you don't do something stupid, but it's just all in the attitude. And like, some guys I've surfed with are, you know, they're like screaming or yelling and getting all stressed out. And, you know, I just laugh at it and think, man, what a kook I am.
Yeah, it's great attitude.
So I think that there's, every day there's a moment you're going to have, or some days you've locked yourself out of your car and it's freezing cold.
Oh, yeah.
You got to, you know.
Done that. All right, well, let's go back then. Will you tell us your history with surfing, when you learned, and any challenges along the way, especially in the early days?
Yeah, I started in 1983, so I'm coming up on 40 years here. And basically, I had just moved to San Diego as a kid. See, another kook story. I was like, I lived out in like San Bernardino and Riverside out in the ghetto. And then, so moving to San Diego was a big move, you know? And so I was that kook that, like, I think the first time my buddy in high school, I think I was going to go boogie board, and he didn't want to be seen next to me because I was on a boogie board and he was already surfing.
Yeah.
So that was only one time I was allowed to boogie board because I was, yeah, that wasn't cool to do that. So then I, you know, then that next time, and I think I started in the winter time, and so I was wearing a spring suit, like in my knees, you know, I'm super fair skinned as it is. So I'm like white legs, purple, like knees, you know, like freezing cold in the winter, first time surfing. And that was at Torrey Pines, and I was Mira Mesa High School, so that was our spot. And then La Jolla Shores was kind of where I first learned. And that was a fun little crew there because it was always like a party. And then once I finally got my driver's license, I had a Volkswagen van. So everybody would like pile into my van and we would go down to Shores and turn into a little party. Everybody would start drinking, hanging out, good old times. And then the bridge under Torrey Pines, that was kind of a great spot back then because not a lot of people surfed there. It was never that crowded.
Oh, God.
And so we had our own little crew and we were right under there. And for some reason, there's a ton of dolphins. Mm-hmm. Right in that Torrey Pines area, there's a million dolphins and they're really playful. Mm-hmm. So that spot, you're almost guaranteed to have dolphins playing around you every time you go there. It's really weird.
Yeah, it's a beautiful area. The Shores is a good place for beginners too, right? It's
great place for beginners. Yeah, all the cool kids would surf blacks and surf like wind and sea. Mm-hmm. I would surf, but I never surfed wind and sea because there was this thing about like if you weren't a local there, they wanted to beat you up. And there was such a bad vibe that even now I have friends that are locals there, but I had never surfed there. It was just in my head, it just never felt inviting. So even though I got to a certain level and I'm sure I could be accepted and surf there, I never surfed there. I just never felt the vibe.
Isn't it so strange? I mean, and then you have a beach like Blacks, which is a nudist beach, and it has a whole different community down there.
Oh,
it's one of my favorite beaches. I think it's just the best, but
I go every single summer. As soon as the water gets warm, I go surf naked there at least twice a year. No, I kid you not. Cause you could surf by yourself. And if you've never surfed naked, it's the most amazing thing.
Yeah.
But make sure the water is warm. Cause it's very embarrassing to get out of the water and it's super cold. You don't want to do that.
Yeah. I've seen everything and anything at Black's Beach, but the best are the volleyball players. My favorite in the middle of the summer.
Sometimes I'll get a naked old man that'll stand and watch me surf for a little while. And I kind of like the attention. It's okay. Right. At least somebody's paying attention to me.
Right. Someone's up. Something happens. You've got some help.
Anything
for any of the beginners out there that any struggles, because you started, sounds like when you were in high school. So what can you remember? You probably remember those awkward moments where people were better than you. And so any tips?
I still have those awkward moments when people are better than me every day. I would just say that like surfing, it's going to the gym, going to church, going to the bar and happy hour with your friends and going to see the shrink all wrapped into one little session. Mm. It's meant to be all of those things wrapped into one. So if you get too caught up on trying to do a 12 o'clock turn in front of your buddies and, you know, hey, would you have dropped a 7 or 8 excellent score on the wave? Then you're doing it for all the wrong reasons because that's when you start seeing people getting all aggro and yelling at themselves or yelling at other people. So you got to understand that it's kind of the entirety, you know, the full experience and just have fun with it. I remember the first time I pumped down a wave, I think I was in PB, I think I was at PB Pier and down the face of wave and I was just pumping and all I did is just go down the line, but it was the most amazing feeling. And those are the moments that you're going to remember and have the best time with. And then when I started competing, I didn't even start until I was in my 40s. I was doing the senior men's division. But I remember worrying too much about trying to do this or that or my equipment. Maybe I need to go to a smaller board, you know. And it was just, you just get out there and have fun with it. And that's would be my advice. Yeah.
Well, thank you so much for taking the time. And we're going to end with a song from the Suede Denim Secret Police.
Oh, are we?
Yes, we are. Let's hear it. Enjoy.
I'm born to be a cowboy. Cowboy! Uh-huh!
Thank you for listening. If you enjoyed this episode, please consider subscribing. And if you feel inclined to leave a kind review, I would greatly appreciate it. I hope you'll stay tuned for the next Surf Tale on the Wilding 50 podcast.